Janae, and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Not going to lie, I felt like one of the smartest guys in the room watching my worlds collide yesterday. I felt like I had a handle on things. And then all this Cam Newton news started to break, and now I'm not sure which way is up. Janae and Golic Jr., here on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and Sirius XM Channel 80, we're presented by Progressive Insurance, and guests are going to join us on the Goodyear Hotline. Mike Golic Jr., Amber Wilson, back in the saddle with us here, and we got a great guest list today. We'll talk to Dan Orlovsky and Adam Rittenberg, two of our great reporters and analysts here, respectively. We'll talk to Nyheim Hines, running back for the Colts, as they get set for the start of their NFL season, and coming up in about 10 minutes, we will talk to Jim McBride as we get ready for more news about the New England Patriots, Amber, because I know you and I had spent a lot of time in the last couple of weeks specifically talking about the New England Patriots quarterback battle. I don't know if either of us looked on the bingo card and had Cam Newton released by the Patriots as the report we would be getting amidst all these NFL cutdowns, unless I missed something from your end.
A lot of time might be understating it. I feel like it's all I've done for the last few weeks is talk about this quarterback battle in New England that ain't even a battle at the end of the day, because apparently one of them's just not going to be on the roster at all in Cam Newton. Nobody could have seen that coming. I mean, nobody. The biggest Mac Jones advocates out there did not see them releasing Cam Newton. This was certainly shocking information, and it further just solidifies that we all really know nothing. And yet, we're here for you. Please listen. Up till 7 o'clock Eastern, right here on ESPN Radio.
And if you feel like you have something smarter to say and you can help out the conversation, tweet us at Mike Golic Jr., at AmberW790 here. Be a part of Janae and Golic Jr. Nation on the Dr. Pepper Twitter feed. ESPN Nation's presented by Dr. Pepper. College football's back, and so are the fans. Return to glory with Fansville by Dr. Pepper, the one fans deserve. And Amber, I looked at this originally because this report confirmed ESPN had the New England Patriots release Cam Newton, turning it over to rookie Mac Jones to now be the starter. And as you and I had talked about this ad nauseum over and over again in perpetuity, I'd said for a lot of these rookie quarterbacks, I saw the value in getting them on the field because they seemed close to their veteran counterparts in production through the portion of the preseason. You could argue, and I know we did, that Cam Newton had some sort of a lead in all of this. But I'm not going to lie, Amber, when I looked at this at first, I thought, all right, tie goes to the rookie in this instance. And looking at this with Cam Newton, a guy who Bill Belichick had heaped praise on in the last year and a half, a guy who likewise had lauded Bill Belichick, they seemed to have a really good relationship. My initial reaction was, all right, maybe Bill is doing Cam a solid here. Meaning if they talked and knew and said, hey, Mac's going to be our starter. If you think there's another team right now that could be quarterback hungry, another destination, we can give you the opportunity to go out and be the one and not have to sit here and be our backup. Am I off base on this, Amber?
Yeah, regardless of who you thought was going to start, you thought the other guy was going to end up sitting behind him. And the only explanation for just completely cutting Cam loose is, one, what you said, where Bill Belichick, he's got a relationship with Cam Newton. That's been well reported, a good relationship. And so he does him a solid here. Here, Cam, I'm going to cut you now. Go on to greener pastures. There's still some starting jobs that may be available in the NFL. Put yourself in the best position possible, as opposed to me rolling you out there during the regular season. And either you're sitting behind Mac, which is going to create havoc for Mac Jones as well, because then all season long, people will be questioning Mac Jones. Hey, when do we bring in Cam Newton? And Mac Jones isn't living up to the hype. But then also, of course, Cam might not want to be sitting on the bench all season, or even if he did get some starts and then doesn't look so good, that doesn't help any future destinations either. So maybe here Bill is doing what he thinks is best for Cam in moving on to the future as well for the New England Patriots. So doing best from both perspectives. The other explanation that I could see is that maybe because they're such different quarterbacks that you want a backup that fits the system more that you'd have with Mac Jones than like a Cam Newton would, because you'd be changing systems if you ended up having to go to the backup. Like, that's the only kind of football argument I can make. But I do think it's what you originally stated, that in a way he's helping Cam out here.
Janae Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golic Jr. and Amber Wilson. We know also lurking in this is the fact that we dealt with some COVID-19 protocol issues with Cam, and not to say that that is the source, but the COVID issues Cam dealt with would only come up for an unvaccinated player, and is there any sort of worry about keeping a backup quarterback on your roster who could be any moment away from 5 days on that COVID-19 protocol list having to deal with that. It's time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. Mike Reese, our great ESPN Patriots reporter, was on ESPN Radio earlier today and talked about why he believes it would have been hard to keep Cam around as the backup.
Cam is, you know, he was a captain last year, and he obviously has the alpha presence. And so when you watch a Patriots practice or even a game, you know, Cam's the one that's calling the players on offense up. You know, like, hey, let's come together. Let's get fired up for the game. He's on the sideline. He's the one, you know, pacing up and down, trying to get everyone up. If you keep him on the team in a backup role, like, how does that mix work? And to me, that's how I view that situation. It's, you almost want to clear the path for Mac so he can grow and players can respond to him, right? It might be hard to do that with Cam looking over your shoulder.
Straight Talk Wireless, no contract, no compromise. And Amber, that's a point you brought up, and it's worth noting that that is also a luxury you can have on a Patriots team that now also got a bunch of those leadership voices back on defense. When you look at that linebacker core on offense, you've got players that are familiar with this Patriots system that can certainly be leaders in a different way while we bridge towards Mac hopefully growing into that voice.
Right. Those opt-outs are opting in this season. You obviously added to this roster as well in the offseason. This is going to be a much improved Patriots team. I guess from that perspective, you could argue that you're even more surprised by this move because going to the Rook, is he ready to be in a position to win now? This obviously is a future move, Mike, but if you're trying to win now, which the New England Patriots are set up to do, then are you taking a chance here going to the rookie? I think what happened here, though, is they saw enough from Mac Jones in the preseason where he didn't blow Cam Newton out of the water. Cam Newton also had a good preseason, but both these quarterbacks had a good preseason. And so if they're kind of even, then I guess you just go ahead and you look to your future and you release Cam. And maybe you're right that there was some concern there. There were reports that there was frustrations within the Patriots organization with what happened with Cam with the COVID protocols. And so maybe there are some concerns that, hey, if I can have a completely vaccinated quarterback room, it'll make my life easier moving forward as well. So I don't necessarily need to have that as a backup. And we'll see how that affects things with Cam and where he ends up.
Yeah, Amber, you mentioned the proximity and production for these two guys. Like, we had talked about it, Cam had performed well during this camp, but hadn't blown anyone away necessarily. Neither of these guys blew the other out of the water. And I'll never forget, my last year at Notre Dame, my fifth year senior year, I'm a starter at right guard. And I get called into my coach's office before we play Michigan. And my play at that point had been up and down. And he looked me square in the face, man to man, and said, listen, I can have a freshman come in and get reps and make similar mistakes and know I'm building towards something here. It's on you as the veteran. It's on you as the incumbent to go out here and really solidify your place when there is youth chasing you from behind here. And when you've got comparable play and the 5 days he did miss because of that COVID-19 protocol, all of a sudden you can see the spots where Mac Jones starts to come in and solidify this. But overall, how was Mac Jones able to come in and really ingratiate himself to this locker room, to this team, and to a coach in Bill Belichick that knows a thing or two about winning? We will head to that Patriots locker room next here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
Jhené and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Jhené and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golic Jr. and Amber Wilson. We'll head to Boston, talk to Boston Globe Patriots reporter Jim McBride here in a couple of minutes. Looking to get inside this Patriots locker room. Mike Golic Jr. and Amber Wilson. Amber, because we're still trying to make heads or tails, really, as is tradition, this feels like we're back to the Patriot days of old, right? This is how you can tell the Patriots are truly back. Because Bill Belichick made this move and we immediately started searching around for the advantage that he's somehow getting out of releasing Cam Newton and naming Mac Jones the starter.
Yeah, what does he know that we don't know? And he must know a lot that we don't know. I do trust that he's seen more out of Mac Jones than I've seen. Not that what I saw was bad out of Mac Jones, because it wasn't. He had a good preseason, but so did Cam Newton. Of course, all I'm seeing is three preseason games. Like, I am seeing a shortened preseason. They're seeing all the practices. They're seeing all the training camps. So he must have seen during that time something that the rest of us didn't get to see. And I think we're at a point with Bill Belichick where we trust him, even if we can't see it. And even if he gives us nothing in any of his pressers, we trust him.
Yeah, somehow, some way. And I think in particular on this one, Amber, too, just because the relationship that these two had very publicly displayed for one another, right? Cam Newton coming over here after a storied tenure in Carolina, a Super Bowl appearance, an MVP, all these great things. What he was able to do inside that Patriots locker room as a person, as a member and a leader on that team was noteworthy. And so how did we get to this point? We head to the Goodyear hotline right now to talk to Jim McBride, Boston Globe Patriots reporter with us here now. And Jim, a lot of people shocked by this news today of Cam Newton not being named the backup, but being released. What can you tell us, if anything, about what you've learned about why this ended up being the decision?
Yeah, it took a lot of people by surprise. You know, Cam had been the starter throughout training camp. He took all the first team snaps, the first reps in every practice and in every preseason game. So a lot of us really caught off guard. And I think it's it was a combination of his unvaccinated status and the emergence of Mac Jones and really underwhelming performance by Cam. So those three things kind of came together to make it a perfect storm.
We keep referencing the relationship between Bill Belichick and Cam Newton. Because of that, it's a good relationship, or it's been reported to be. Because of that, this couldn't have been an easy decision. Do you have any indication that Cam was at all involved, like they had a conversation and Cam didn't want to be a backup, so Bill's doing Cam a solid here?
Yeah, I don't know that conversation took place, but I have a feeling it did. I know at the end of last year, Cam's last press conference following the season, he was asked about possibly coming back here in a backup role, and at that point he said, you know, he didn't think he was the 33rd best quarterback in this league, and he didn't think he was ready to be a backup. So he probably feels that same way. So I have a feeling that conversation or something close to that conversation did happen, and you know, when it became clear that the Patriots were going to go with Mac, I'm sure that conversation took place, and you know, possibly Cam said, well, you know, maybe just release me rather than be a backup. It would have been tough to have him with such a big personality, and again with his unvaccinated status, I think it would have been hard to have him in that locker room as a backup.
Jim, you mentioned big personality and big leadership role that we had seen grow on that team in just a year's time. Has Mac Jones displayed any of that ability to walk in and command that offensive huddle, or is this going to take time?
Yeah, you know, it's funny. A lot of the veteran guys have talked about Mac's presence in the huddle, and that he doesn't act like a rookie. He has a very good grasp of Josh McDaniel's offense, which, you know, traditionally is one of the toughest in the league and hard for not only young guys to grasp, but even veterans coming in to grasp. And he's really kind of seized upon his opportunity. And, you know, several players, including James White and David Andrews today, who are both captains on the team, talked about his remarkable poise and command in that huddle. So I think he proved that to the coaching staff and, more importantly, his teammates pretty quickly. You know, when it came to talking about Cam or being on the field when we could see him, he was pretty quiet and pretty subdued. But once he got in that huddle, you could hear him during training camp practices. And he never came across as a rookie or a shy guy. So I don't think it'll take long before he really, takes a real leadership role in this offense.
Jim McBride, Boston Globe Patriots reporter, joining us on the Goodyear Hotline. Jim, you keep mentioning Cam's unvaccinated status, so obviously that factored into this. If Cam Newton was vaccinated, would he be the starting quarterback of the New England Patriots, or do you think he'd be the backup then?
You know, it's a really good question. I think that it would have been a much tougher decision to cut him. I think they wanted to go into the season with him as the number one quarterback. I think that the plan all along, you know, for most of the summer, was to simultaneously get Cam ready for the now and Mac ready for the future. But I'm sure that had a lot to do with it. So, you know, I think if Cam was vaccinated and it wasn't that, you know, that kind of threat hanging over their head that at any moment he could be, you know, missing for 5 days, I think that played a lot into it. So I think if he was vaccinated, yeah, I think he'd probably still be here.
It's incredible to think about how much this changes and where he might wind up next. Everyone follow him on Twitter at Globe Jim McBride, Boston Globe Patriots reporter, kind enough to give us a few minutes here. Jim, we appreciate it. Thank you.
You bet. Thanks.
And Amber, that's interesting to consider if that really is the case. We always knew, and when this happened with Cam Newton, where he missed time because of the COVID protocol discrepancy, that it might send a message here. But now, as we get to cut down day going on around the NFL, And we see this happen with a player of Cam Newton's status and tenure in this league. And we saw the reports that unvaccinated players who are released, clear waivers, etc., and find their way to new teams would then have to undergo a five-day acclimatization period, pass through 5 days of MESA testing before they're eligible to get on the field with the team. It is another one of those spots where they've made this a football and a money choice for guys.
Yeah, if you are unvaccinated, you are costing yourself dollars based on everything that you just said. And at the very least, you're costing yourself a whole lot of headaches with all the protocols in place, although now vaccinated players are getting tested at least once a week, but unvaccinated are still being tested every single day. And then you run the risk, of course, of running into protocol issues like Cam Newton did because he was unvaccinated. It's interesting to see how this plays out for Cam and if that unvaccinated status ends up affecting him moving forward wherever he lands.
Wherever he lands is a question we can get to in just a little bit. But Mac Jones is now the starting quarterback in New England. So coming up next, I want to paint a picture of a photograph that you're going to see early and often this entire season and what it's going to mean for your NFL team. We will get to that after this word from Dollar Shave Club. You want to look like $1 million, but only spend a handful of bucks? Upgrade to Dollar Shave Club's six-blade razor and get an extra close shave thanks to their six precision-cut stainless steel blades. Razors can be expensive, so don't spend all that money for a mediocre shave. With Dollar Shave Club, you get the shave you want every time. Dollar Shave Club, it's what dreams are shaved of. Find your perfect shave wherever you shop, in-store and online at dollarshaveclub.com. That's dollarshaveclub.com. Welcome to the club. The picture you're going to see all football season coming into focus next on ESPN Radio.
Jhené and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Jhené and Golic Jr. is brought to you by Goodyear, helping you discover the road ahead. Goodyear, more driven. Mike Golic Jr., Amber Wilson, we're presented by Progressive Insurance. Coming up in about 10 minutes here. I, for one, am shocked by the headlines coming out of Philadelphia surrounding Ben Simmons and his displeasure with the 76ers organization. We can get to plenty of that in a little bit, Amber, as I don't know how anyone can be shocked at this point. Ben Simmons now openly saying he doesn't want to be part of the team before reporting to training camp, according to, I believe this was Keith Pompey at the Philadelphia Inquirer. I mean, can they just get this over with already? Like, Ben Simmons is going to have this cycle go on long enough for him to be able to claim that you can't fire me, I quit.
I didn't even know. When this news broke today, I was confused. Like, this is news? Because I thought we already knew this, and I thought this relationship was already this fractured. So I know we'll get into that more coming up.
Exactly. But in the meantime, Amber, I mentioned I had already seen a picture going around the internet today because Mac Jones, now named the starter for the New England Patriots, he joins two other Alabama quarterbacks that were at one time in the same quarterback room for Nick Saban among the Tide. You've seen the picture rolling around of Tua Tagovailoa, Mac Jones, and Jalen Hurts floating around the internet here, as now I saw Nick Sirianni name Jalen Hurts the starter for the Eagles. Surprise, surprise. We know Tua Tagovailoa, although there is some mystery yesterday, mystery we've talked about in his future, sits as the starting quarterback for the Dolphins. And with Mac as a starter for the Patriots, that quarterback room is sitting pretty right here. But Ryan Clark posed this question, our ESPN NFL analyst, on Twitter earlier. If you got to back one of these guys right now, who you think is riding out with the best career of this three? Because it's insane that we even get to ask that.
I thought Bama quarterbacks were system quarterbacks, Nick Saban system quarterbacks. I thought that they weren't any good in the NFL. I don't know quite what's going on here, but they're certainly having their moment in the sun. In terms of who is going to end up working out of these three, I mean, I'm going to hope for my Miami Dolphins that it's Tua Tagovailoa. Now, I'll stick with it for now. I'll stick with the homer pick here, Mike, because I have no idea what Mac Jones looks like in the NFL in games that actually count. I mean, I have zero idea. with Jalen Hurts, I was very high on him coming out of college, but I was high on Jalen Hurts like you're high on a second rounder, projected third rounder, right? I don't know if I'm high on Jalen Hurts in terms of having some sort of generational career in the NFL as a starter. I don't even know what's happening there with their quarterback room, because we know that they like quarterback by committee there, and obviously they just brought in Gardner Minshew, and I don't know if that's a potential landing spot now for Cam as well. So it feels like with Jalen Hurts, even though he was just named the starter, I don't feel very confident in the fact that he's going to be the starter there beyond just this season. At least with Tua, I know that that's been the plan. Like, that's been the plan since the get. They drafted Tua high. They draft Tua at 5. They were planning on picking Tua when we thought that they were going to be picking much higher than 5 in that draft in the Miami Dolphins. So I'm going to stick with Tua for now, because Tua had a good preseason. I at least know Tua has some experience. He didn't poop the bed last season. Okay, he wasn't great, but he wasn't terrible last season either. And that's coming off of the hip injury, and we know missing a significant portion of his senior year and then coming into an NFL during a pandemic without a preseason and then not starting for the first half of the season. And then when you are starting, having Ryan Fitzpatrick that you get benched for, and he's always breathing down your neck. And so now we finally get to go into some semblance of a normal NFL season here, even though if we are still dealing with COVID restrictions. And so far, Tua has looked good in training camp and in the preseason. So I'm still going to hope it's Tua. But with my luck, Mike, this Mac Jones is going to end up being the next coming of Tom Brady, and these Patriots are never going to go away in that division.
Janae and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golic Jr. and Amber Wilson. And Amber, I said it one of the other times we talked, I was so surprised. They talked to Jalen Waddle and one of the other former first-round Alabama wide receivers pre-draft this year, and they asked them, because they had had experience with both of these quarterbacks. Mac Jones came at the end of 2019, started all of 2020's title season after Tua Tagovailoa left for the NFL, and they asked him which quarterback they like more, and they said Mac Jones. Like, that is not something you normally hear from people that share a team, but I'm actually with you. I'd go Tua, Mac, and then Jalen on this one, and so much of this has to do with the team that is around you in these spots. And what you just described, the environment you were brought into, what was the intention there for all these things? Now, Booger McFarland, our ESPN NFL analyst, was on ESPN Radio earlier today, and he said the trajectory for Mac Jones and this Patriots team this year already sky high.
If Mac Jones stays healthy, which is always a big if in this contact sport, they will challenge the Buffalo Bills in the AFC East, which gives them an opportunity to challenge whoever comes out of the other division. They will be a top four team in the AFC. And I don't think anyone would have ever said that in the middle of the season last year when we were all having these conversations on talk radio about the demise of the Patriots. How soon have we forgotten that Bill Belichick has put a team together led by a rookie quarterback that if he stays healthy, they are a top four team in the entire AFC this season?
Now, again, I understand this. The Patriots got so much back here. I still believe, though, Tua, especially in today's NFL, can do the special thing where he can get you out of trouble with his legs. He's not a running quarterback, but he's a mobile quarterback that can help you in a way that Mac Jones is not going to be able to do. But amidst all of this discussion, Amber, I look over and Christine Lisi, who does a great job as our SportsCenter update anchor extraordinaire and noted Buffalo Bills fan who willed that Buffalo team through so much of their success last year, is just writhing in pain right now at the notion that the Patriots are coming. Christine, are you going to be okay? It is. Christine, you have earned this. It's what Bill Belichick does to all of us. He comes in and he just tries to steal joy from everyone involved in these situations. So, Bill, I hope you're happy with yourself. Remember, right now it is Christine's time to shine. She has earned that right. Earned that right through all of this. And we won't hear anything else on that matter. Coming up in a little bit, we'll continue to weigh in on that. And at Mike Golic Jr., at AmberW790 on the Dr. Pepper Twitter feed, which of the Alabama quarterbacks starting for their NFL team do you think goes on to have the best career? You can also weigh in 888-729-3776, 888-SAY-ESPN on which former Bama QB will have the best career. But coming up next, does anyone want Ben Simmons? We'll try and find buyers after this word from DoorDash. Now, guys, DoorDash is here with the summer of Dash Pass. Right now, Dash Pass members are taking $10 off groceries, alcohol, pet food, and more. You need a nightcap. $10 off. You got a cough. Get relief delivered for less. You want to surprise your crush? Send a gift and save. Try Dash Pass for free and get special savings, exclusive menu items, and $0 delivery fees year-round. Get more from your neighborhood now with Dash Pass in the DoorDash app. And stay cool out there. Terms and conditions apply. Ben Simmons saying, "You can't fire me, I quit." Next on ESPN Radio.
Janae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
The big news of the day, Cam Newton. Not only not starting in New England, but released by the Patriots. We'll try and figure out where he might land and why. Coming up in just a little bit, Janae and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Save when you bundle auto, home, or motorcycle insurance. Visit progressive.com. But Amber, as we keep spinning the wheel on off-season storylines that keep finding new ways to exist, I feel like this is applied to Cam Newton and Mac Jones. It's applied to all the rookie quarterbacks, both before the draft and now. Ben Simmons has re-entered the chat because, according to Keith Pompey at the Philadelphia Inquirer, Ben Simmons has told the 76ers he no longer wants to be a part of the team, and he doesn't plan on reporting to training camp. Amber, is this the best spin zone by somebody for public PR that we've ever seen? Because it doesn't feel like that much far removed from that playoff report where we were looking for any way and any way to get him out of Philly on the other side of things.
This is like right before somebody dumps you and you know it's coming. And so then you do the quick switcheroo and you dump them first so that you can beat them to the punch. That's exactly what this feels like with Ben Simmons. We already knew the 76ers have been shopping Ben Simmons around, right? Like, they want to trade him away. They gave the commitment to Joel Embiid. There's been rumors for years that there's problems in that locker room, and particularly problems between those two superstars. And so now Ben Simmons, all of a sudden, now he doesn't want any part of the Philadelphia 76ers. It feels like he's trying to dump them before they dump him, even though they've been trying to dump him now quietly for months, looking for some sort of trade partner here to provide the proper assets, given reportedly their asking price has been really high.
And you can understand why. Like, Amber, you and I, looking at this situation, I can understand why the price would be high. Like, I know we've done this 1,000 times, but it bears repeating. Ben Simmons is an incredibly talented young player in a league that covets those things greatly. He's got that big contract. We know that's still going to be a part of this process, but we figured there'd be plenty of people looking to resurrect this because, man, egos are a mile wide in any of these pro leagues. So, Amber, I'm not sure what this does to really expedite the process, because the whole idea here was, all right, we've got to do some PR damage control because his stock couldn't have been lower coming off of the NBA's Eastern Conference Finals, and I don't know from Ben Simmons' side how this necessarily helps that.
Well, his stock couldn't have been lower from a PR perspective coming off of another disappointing playoff performance. But we are talking about the former number one overall pick. We're talking about a player who won Rookie of the Year, not his rookie year, which was a total sham, but I digress. Runner-up for Defensive Player of the Year. He's made all three All-Star teams. He's received an All-NBA nod. I mean, he is one of the best defensive players in the NBA. So even though we like to make fun of his shooting, and even though certainly it has felt like offensively his performance has gotten worse throughout these last three postseasons, and we know that he's coughed it up and passed on layups in very big moments, Ben Simmons is still a very talented player, like you mentioned, and he's a young player, and he's a player that if you can get him to improve offensively, then he'd be an unbelievable player in the NBA. So that's why they're asking so much for him. The problem the 76ers have now is that the 76ers are in a position, they're asking so much for him when we're coming off of that postseason that was embarrassing, I think you could say, for Ben Simmons, at least disappointing at best. And so they're coming off of that disappointing postseason and they're asking for a huge price tag, and nobody right now has seemed willing to give it. And so they were in a situation where I thought they were going to start the season with Ben Simmons. They're going to roll him out there, hope he ups that trade value a bit, and then trade him during the regular season. And Ben Simmons is saying, no, 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 I want to be traded now. I don't know who it's helpful for. I'm not sure it's that helpful for Ben Simmons, but it feels like he's sticking it to the 76ers there.
And I mean, what, sticking to them with the hopes that his offseason workout videos have been the difference? Like, Amber, we've seen this really in the last couple of years, Ben Simmons posting a bunch of videos from a small gym being guarded by players in a way that won't happen in the NBA, making jump shots. Like, we know he's capable of this. We know even mechanically this isn't something that eludes him. This is between the ears. Like, I genuinely, for him, wonder if there's been a conversation like we've seen with a sports psychologist, someone who might be able to help him with whatever was going on clearly there in between the ears. And I know we have these conversations about mental health that feel like a real umbrella thing here, but this is stuff like, I mean, hell, I was in college a decade ago now, and we had a sports psychologist on staff because it wasn't like a chemical imbalance or the things that we talk about with mental health issues that we think of when that word and that term comes up. But here it was a guy who clearly in these moments was having confidence issues out there on the court with elements of his game that used to still be there. And so I look at all of this, and I still thought we could have benefited, everyone involved, the 76ers in driving up his price, because I still think they should eventually get rid of him, and Ben Simmons for finding more suitors to be interested if he had showed up, not only to training camp, but maybe showed up to the start of the season with this team and said, hey, I am back, I am in better shape than ever, even though that's not really a question with him, but I am now ready to go out here and add this other element to my game. I'm going to go and show you I can be that confident player that didn't appear in the Eastern Conference Finals, and now it seems like we may not get that.
But Ben Simmons is under contract either way. I mean, he's paid the same either way, right? Like, he doesn't care. Now, maybe you want more suitors because theoretically more options, although it's not like he has a no-trade clause, so it's not like he has the power here. It's going to be the 76ers who decide where Ben Simmons goes. What Ben Simmons just did is try to plummet his value even further, essentially, by telling every other team in the NBA that he's not playing for the 76ers no matter what, and so why would any other team in the NBA come in and offer a king's ransom for Ben Simmons if they wouldn't already? Why would they do it now when they know that he's not going to show up and be any sort of asset to the 76ers? He's basically trying to put their backs against a wall, so they're forced into trading him now so he doesn't have to trot out there and deal with whatever situation's been going on in that locker room for years between him and Joel Embiid, the rumors, yada yada. And obviously the criticism from the fans and the criticism from the media that has been circulating Ben Simmons, and does that play into the psyche issue that you alluded to? I will say this, though, when you're talking about the mental component of this game, I mean, it is one thing to make jump shots in a gym at the YMCA. Like, I've never seen you play basketball, Mike, but I'm guessing you can make a jump shot when nobody's up against you. It's like with these NBA players with free throws. You see the videos of them. If they're in a gym by themselves, they make every single free throw, and then you see them out there in a game, and all of a sudden they can't because somehow things change, the crowd and the competition and everything else. That just is sports, right? So these elite athletes can always make these shots. It is about making them in the game.
It is about making them in the game. And I think if we look at Ben Simmons and what he can be going forward, I think he can be a very good piece on a team within the right context of the right offense. Like, Amber, it's strange that offensively, as he sits right now, for a player as talented as he is defensively, he was giving himself some DPOY nods, and deservedly so, quite frankly. I still look at it and say, it's insane of a player of his caliber. We have to talk about, we have to squeeze him in through such a fine needle, or point of a needle, to get him into the right offense here. Like, he can be a very good player on a championship team, but he can't be your main guy on a championship team, and I think that much is clear for him right now.
He can be a very good defensive player on a championship team. I think you have to recognize that that is the strength there and be able to utilize that and not necessarily need the offensive production out of him.
No, and I think that part can still, again, we are not ruling out growth in Ben Simmons' game. I understand that he is young. I understand he's got incredible ability, and I understand that all of this can still be possible, but it ain't going to be possible in Philly. There's too much history. There is too much that's happened here. These teams, guys, clearly got to get away from each other. But how that's going to work now that everybody involved on the outside knows you want out, that remains to be seen. Coming up next, an insane stat about one of the most loaded college football rosters of all time and Cam's next stop on ESPN Radio.
Thanks for listening to Jhené and Golic Jr. Make sure to subscribe, rate, and review. You can hear the show live weekdays at 4 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, and wherever you stream your audio.